mine eyes to the hills, whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. In earth, he said, he will not suffer thy foot to be moved. The Lord keepeth me. He will not slumber nor sleep. For the Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade. Upon thy right hand, upon thy right hand. No, the sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. He shall preserve thy soul, even forevermore. My help, all of my help cometh from the my help, all of my help cometh from the my help, hallelujah, all of my help cometh from, let's sing it again, my help in the time of trouble, when I don't have nowhere to turn to, all of my help, oh, my help. Thank you, Jesus. All of my help. Hallelujah. All of my help. Oh, Lord. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Lord, we give you praise. We give you honor. We magnify your name, Lord. Oh, Lord, we honor your name this morning. We praise you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you for keeping us, Lord. Thank you for being a protector, Lord. For being a bridge over troubled water. For being an anchor, Lord God, in times of trouble, Lord God. Lord God, there's so much going on around us, Lord. The seas and the billows roll, Lord God. But Lord, in the inside, there's a peace, Lord. Oh God, that passes all understanding, Lord. Lord, we're confident, Lord God, that our help, Lord, cometh from the Lord. We say thank you, Jesus. We come to magnify your name, oh Father. We come to give you all the praise and the glory, Lord God. Oh, Lord, we thank you, Lord God. Oh, yes. My help. Oh, my help. Oh, my help. All of my help. Oh. Oh, my help. Oh, my help. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. All of my help. Oh, my help, my help, my help, my help. Oh, when I have nowhere to turn. Thank you, Jesus, my help. All of my help. you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise your name. Praise your name. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's get our Bibles. Continue to play softly. How many are glad to be in the house of the Lord? Oh, thank you, Jesus. We're going to be reading from the book of Isaiah. Amen. The 54th chapter. And we'll begin at the 13th verse. Let's take it from the 12th verse. We'll read on down to the 17th verse. I'll wait for the sister to get it up. Amen. Thank you. Amen. It reads on this wise. And I will make thy windows of gates and thy gates of carbuncles and all thy borders of pleasant stones. And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. In righteousness shall thou be established. Thou shalt be far from oppression. Thou shalt not fear. And from the terror for it shall not come near thee. Behold, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against me shall fall by thy sake. Behold, I have created the smith that bloweth the coals in the fire, and that bringeth forth in the instrument for his work, and I have created the waster to destroy. And the 17th verse says, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Amen. 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 No weapon. No weapon that is formed against me shall prosper. Amen. I have faith. That's talking about me. Amen. I take that. No weapon that is formed against me shall prosper. Amen. You got to take it personal. Amen. If he ain't talking to nobody else, he's talking to me. Because I'm one of his children. Amen. The song says, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. No matter what come, no matter what go. Amen. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, oh, all fear is gone. Oh, because I know, oh, oh, he holds my feet. Worth living because he lived. Oh, let's sing it again with all your heart. Because, hallelujah. Yes. Face tomorrow. Amen. Because he lives. Amen. All fear is gone. Hallelujah. Because I know he holds my fear. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And amen. Somebody sing that second verse if you know it. Cause he lives. I'm looking for it. I can face tomorrow. And that blue one, that other blue. Because he lives. Hallelujah. Oh. Because I know of my future and life is worth the living just because he lives. One more time with all of your heart. Because he lives, oh, I can face. Oh, because he lives. Oh, because I know he holds my future and life is worth the living, and life is worth the living, and life is worth just because he lives. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord, because he lives. I can face tomorrow. Oh, Lord, what a comfort. What a comfort in our souls. Amen. To know, amen, that our Savior lives. Amen. They crucified him, put him in the tomb. But our Bible says that he got up with all power in his hand. And he said, it's fitting that I go, that I send you back a comforter. Right. Amen. I was reading this morning's scripture. I have not given you to the spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. Amen. That power is within you. Amen. The power to overcome in these last and evil days. Whatever you may be going through, whatever the test may be, whatever the trial, it can't get too hard. Amen. We won't fear. Amen, because we have power. Power, his power. The power he got up with. The power to raise himself up out of that tomb. Same power. Not a different power. Same power. God's power to carry us through. Amen. Amen, I'm looking for a special. Who got a special? Amen. Sister Tina, like you say you got one? Thank, praise the Lord for Tina as she comes. Praise the Lord for Sister Tina. Come bless us with a special hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Lord. You encouraged this morning? Amen. You're glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning? Amen. Glory to God. Come under expectation. Amen. In the presence of Almighty God. Pray for as you come.
God bless you. Since Brother Troy was talking about there is power, let's go ahead and sing about it.
There is power, power, wonder working power in the blood of the Lamb. Oh, there is power, wonder working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Oh, there is power, power, wonder-working power. It's in the blood. Yeah, oh, there is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Oh, there is love, love, oh, wonder-working love in the blood, in the Lamb. Oh, there is love, love, wonder-working love in the precious blood of the Lamb. Oh, I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood for me. One day when I was lost, Jesus died upon the cross. And I know it was the blood for me. Yeah, I know it was the blood. Yes, I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood for me. Oh, one day when I was lost, Jesus died upon the cross. And I know it was the blood for me. Yes, I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood for me. Oh, one day when I was lost, he died upon the cross. Yes, I know it was the blood for me. Oh, the blood came streaming down.
Hallelujah!
The blood came streaming down. The blood came streaming down for me. Oh, one day when I was lost, Jesus died upon the cross. And the blood came streaming down for me. Oh, he never said a mumbling word.
He never said a mumbling word.
He never said a mumbling word for me. Oh, one day when I was lost, Jesus died upon the cross. And he never said a mumbling word for me. Oh, there is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Yeah, there is power, so much power.
Power.
Oh, in the working power in the precious blood. It's in the precious blood of the Lamb.
What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And what can make me whole again? Oh, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious that makes me white as snow. No other help I know. Nothing but the blood. Say it again. Nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I thank Him for the blood. Thank Him for the blood. Thank Him for the blood. Washed away all my sins. Hallelujah. Thank you for the blood. One man say, I may not be where I ought to be, but I'm thank God I'm not where I used to be. Thank God for the blood. Amen. What would you do for a vial of the literal blood of Jesus? But I say this morning, you have more than that. You have the purchase of the blood. The purchase of the blood. We are blessed people. You have Him. Not just the blood. You have Him. The life that was in the blood. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. You know, I was... just this week earlier, I looked up that word power. And the definition, now there's a physical definition of power. But the definition of power is the capacity or the ability to direct or influence the behavior of others through a course of action or events. I'll read that again and pay close attention. The ability to direct or influence the behavior of others. Amen. So that power in the blood has the ability to direct your path. The ability to give you an influence. Amen. And that power in you, you have that power. You have the ability to influence others. Power. You have that power, amen, that's in the blood. That power that's in the blood calls us to act right, calls us to live right, change from our old sinful ways, our old sinful habits, washed in the blood. Give the Lord a praise offering. Amen. As we prepare, amen, for our pastor to come, amen, for the word. Don't want to prolong the time. Amen. Let us sing this song, I Love You, Lord. Do you love Him? You love the Lord? Let us stand to our feet. Amen. You, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship You, oh my soul.
take joy, my King, in what you hear. Let it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. I love you, Lord. Sing it from your heart this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Sing it to him. Sing it to him. Worship. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Oh, I love you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. You're wonderful. Bless you, my Savior. Sweet, sweet sound in your. Now I want everyone to lift their voices and say, we exalt thee, we exalt. Hallelujah. We exalt thee, we exalt.
Exalt thee, we exalt thee, yes, we exalt thee, oh yes we do, we exalt thee, oh Lord, yes, we exalt. Hallelujah. We exalt thee. Thank you, Lord. We exalt thee. Oh, Lord.
Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. Be seated just for a second. Amen. Certainly good to be in the house of God, amen, on this day. And we are grateful that he has protected us and kept us, amen, through this season, amen. And we just appreciate his love and his favor, amen. There's no God like our God. Amen. We want to welcome Brother William Clemens, amen, today to the house of the Lord. God bless you. It's good to have you, amen, invited by Brother Jerry, amen. And we certainly thank God to have him in service. Just a couple of announcements that we just want to make mention of, amen. One in particular is, as we are going out in public, we understand our county has made it mandatory that we wear our masks as we go in public. And I also was told that, you know, if we didn't abide by that, then there could be a substantial fine that comes from a $250 fine. So I want to encourage us as a church, let's do what we have been asked to do here in our county. And, you know, I think as Christians, we should be the one leading the charge. Amen. So just please make sure that you're doing, amen, what they ask you to do as you're in public. The numbers are really growing here. They might not be reporting a lot, but we have information from the front line, somebody working right there in the hospitals, and director of emergency room, and they're just sharing with us how they're running out of beds, having to send people to other hospitals, and now they're actually opening up things in the parking lot to try to take care of some of the people. And it's just been a challenge for many of the people here in our area. So what we're grateful for is that we have not had any breakouts amongst ourselves. And we're grateful for that. Praise the Lord. But I do want to encourage the church, because the devil always looking for some little spot that he can get into. And we don't want to give the devil no place to have any victory in anything that happens here. So let's just continue to do all that we can to protect ourselves and to protect others. Amen. As we come together for worship. Praise the Lord. So we have, with the things being the way that they are, we're going to continue to do what we have been doing. Our Wednesday night service is virtual. We'll be doing that until further notice. And we have, so if you want to join, you want to come on Wednesdays, just come online. Amen. And you can get to us through Facebook or through Periscope. Either one. If you download the church app, all of this is available to you in the church app. So if you just download that, go to your Play Store, download the church app, and then find Spirit and Truth Tabernacle. All of the online things will be available to you. Also, we continue to have our Sunday services. We do allow saints to come in, but to keep the crowd so we can do social distancing. We have the two services, one at 9 and one at 12. So we ask that you just continue to remain faithful to the service that you volunteered for. Amen. Also, if you desire to give, amen, we are able to give through online sources. We have, amen, PayPal, amen, is one way to give. And then the other way to give is through Cash App. So if you desire to do that, you can do that, amen, online. So if you want to use Cash App, just use the church sign of Spirit and Truth T. And cash sign Spirit and Truth T. And then if you want to use PayPal, then just make sure you give to a friend, a family member, and use the email address of giving at john423.org. Praise the Lord. Those that are in the house of the Lord, if you desire to give as you're coming in or going out, we have a box, a wooden box on the table. You can give there in the wooden box. So God bless you. Let's just pray, amen, over our giving, amen, at this time. Father, we thank you for the privilege and the opportunity we have to be able to come and bring our offering, our tithes, to the house of God. You said that you rebuked the devourer for our sake. You also said you open up the window and pour out blessings, amen, where we have room not enough to receive. So let your word, God, be made manifest in our midst. We thank you, Lord, for this time to gather once more. It's a blessing to be able to come to the house of God. And as David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. So we're happy to be here, God. Minister to every heart, to every need, as we prepare, Lord, to enter into your word today. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Thank you so much, Sister Rachel. Amen. I want to just read a scripture this morning from Mark 9. We'll stand while we read the word of God. And also just make mention of, if you would just keep a family, some dear friends of mine, me and Sister Erica, they had a tragedy happen on yesterday. They had a daughter-in-law that was 7 months pregnant, and she'd been fighting some things in her body with, I think, some high blood pressure, as well as some things with her liver. And her husband found her yesterday in the shower, and she had passed on. So she's gone, the baby's gone, and the family's really, really going through a lot, you know, at this time. So if you just remember the Gould's family in prayer, we greatly appreciate it. They really need our prayers, amen, at this time. Amen. If you would, let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Mark, amen, chapter 9, and how we're very grateful for the service, earlier service. Brother Troy spoke for us, and let not your heart be troubled. And if there was ever a time that we needed to hear a word like that, that was this time now. We're often moved by what we hear, and it's just the enemy trying to bring in fear amongst the people. But remember, God did not give you the spirit of fear, but of love, power, and of a sound mind. So Christians ought to be sane in this hour, right? We shouldn't be acting like everybody else acting, because God has spoken to us. And he said, he used the scripture about the comforter will come, and he reminds us of things that have already been spoken. So when you hear what's already been said, it should settle your spirit. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's look here in Mark 9. I pray that we will kind of connect from Brother Troy ended up hitting a scripture, I believe, in Luke chapter 24, and I had that in my notes, amen, for today. So God knows exactly what he's doing, and he's in control, amen. So let's just read from Mark chapter 9. The Bible declares here, says, and he said unto them, verily, I say unto you that there be some of them that stand here which shall not taste of death, till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power. Now, I'm not finished with my reading here, but our title today is going to be Prophecies of Jesus Christ. Amen. Prophecies of Jesus Christ. Now, that verse, first verse right there that we're looking at is actually prophecy. Okay, it is prophecy that the Lord Jesus is speaking of. But let's just kind of go on. He says, and after 6 days, Jesus talketh with him, Peter and James and John, and leadeth them up into a high mountain apart by themselves, as he was transfigured before them. And his raiment became shining, exceeding white as snow, so as no full on earth can white them. And there appeared unto them Elijah with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. I think I might have too much gain. That's why I keep going out. Just lower my gain just a little bit. It says, and there appeared unto them Elijah with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. And Peter answered and said to Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here, and let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Amen. For he wist not what to say, for they were sore afraid. And there was a cloud that overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved son, hear him. See, don't make a tabernacle for Moses, a tabernacle for Elijah. Hear him, hear Christ, right? This is what God is saying. It says, and suddenly, when they had looked round about it, they saw no man anymore, save Jesus only with themselves. And as they came down from the mountain, he charged them that they should tell no man what things they had seen till the Son of Man were risen from the dead. And they kept the saying with themselves, questioning. Now, let's look at this again before I go too far. I want to read that too fast. Verse 9, and as they came down from the mountain, he charged them that they should tell no man what things they had seen till the Son of Man were risen from the dead. Now, I need you to catch that, because that's another prophecy from Jesus. All right. Don't tell anybody anything until the Son of Man is risen from the dead. Now, and I need you to understand, this was a new message to the people, something they had never heard of before. What are you talking about? Look at verse 10. And they kept the saying with themselves, questioning one with another what the rising from the dead should mean. That was new terminology for people, right? We're looking after things have happened, but when it's coming fresh, when it's new to people, right, it causes them to question some things, and that should be normal. That's very normal for people to do that. But let's go on and look at this now, because they had a little something. Notice this in the next verse. It says, they asked him, saying, why say the scribes that Elijah must first come? So this means they went to Sunday school. This meant they went to church.
Not only did they go to church, but they listened to what the scribes were saying in church, right? Then why say to scribes that Elijah must first come down? And for the disciples to mention this, this doctrine of the scribes was being preached quite regularly. Amen. Even fishermen had the revelation. Oh, I hope you're with me. Amen. Even the fishermen had the revelation. They were hearing this quite often as they were going to church, that Elijah is first to come. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. They had an understanding. So they asked Jesus a question, says, and they asked him saying, why say the scribes that Elijah must first come? And he answered and told them, Elijah verily cometh first and restoreth all things. And how it is written of the Son of Man that he must suffer many things and be set at naught. But I say unto you, hallelujah, that Elijah is indeed come, and they have done unto him whatsoever they listed, as it is written of him. The Lord had a blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated, amen, in the house of God. Hallelujah. We want to talk about the prophecies of Jesus Christ, amen, on today. Just want to talk about that. Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. I was just meditating on this, and when we talk about the Lord Jesus, all of us, if we don't know him as of yet, we should know him as Savior. Amen. Because he's the one that saves us from our sins. When we look at Jesus, just the name Jesus actually meant Yahweh is salvation. Just the name Jesus meant that. We should see him as a redeemer. Amen. We should have experiences his glorious redemption power to redeem us from the grave, to redeem us from, amen, from hell. That's something that as believers, that if death was to come and knock on our door, we don't have to worry anymore, because he's made a way for us to go right into the presence of God. He's our redeemer. Isaiah 12:2 says, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. So Jesus is our salvation. Jesus is our redeemer. The other thing about the Lord Jesus, he is our protector. Glory to God. If you've ever been in a situation where you were just this close to dying because a car almost hit you, or some accident almost occurred, it's only the Lord Jesus that is protecting you at those moments. And I've experienced his mighty hand of protection. Glory to God. When I couldn't call on nobody else, I just called on Jesus, and somehow the situation changed in my favor. Amen. He has proven to be my protector. He also has proven to be a healer. Glory to God. When the doctors have given up on our conditions and our situations, and we thank God for the doctors, but sometimes they reach their wits' end and there's nowhere else for them to turn. But we always, as believers, have somewhere else that we can go. Hallelujah. We can go to Jesus because he is a healer. Remember the woman with the issue of blood? She said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, then I know that I'll be made whole. Jesus is a healer. Jesus is a deliverer. We talked about this a few weeks ago, about how that maniac was living in a graveyard, and Jesus told the disciples, let's go to the other side. No storm could stop him from getting to that one soul that needed deliverance. And when nobody else could help him, Jesus was able to go get the problem fixed, because Jesus is a deliverer. Glory to God. Amen. The other thing I found out is that Jesus is a provider. Glory. If anybody ever had your bills get behind just a little bit, and then you just begin to pray and seek God. And one of the things that you've done is you say, Satan, I know you're trying me here and you're trying me there, but I'm going to keep paying my tithes. I'm going to keep paying my offering. And you watched him rebuke the devourer for your sake. You watch him open up the windows of heaven and pour out blessings where you had room not enough to receive, because Jesus is a provider. You see, when we think about all these adjectives, amen, that we can use to describe our Lord and our Savior, amen, Jesus Christ, these are some great things, and it should excite people when they hear about all the things that he did. But today, I want to come from a different angle. Amen. I want to talk about Jesus as a prophet. Glory to God. Because he also was a prophet. Amen. And we got to be able to catch him in scripture when he's prophesying, and some things that might have been fulfilled, but other things that we're waiting to be fulfilled in the hour in which we live right now. Glory to God. Now, Jesus himself was the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. There in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, it says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder." Hallelujah. If the government is on his shoulder, you ain't got nothing to worry about. "And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And, you know, I love this scripture because these are, again, adjectives that describe our Lord and Savior. Amen. Here he is, wonderful. He's Counselor. He's the Mighty God. And notice this, the Everlasting Father. How can a son that is being born, a son that is being given, how can that son also be the Everlasting Father? The only way that son that is being born can also be the Everlasting Father is that son has to be God himself. Hallelujah. Amen. It wasn't just God sending his son. God became the son, and he came down to die for our sins. Blessed be his holy name. That son that we worship, that son that we serve, is the Everlasting Father. They are the same. Hallelujah, hallelujah, the Prince of Peace. Follow me, amen, a little bit as I just read to set ourselves up, amen, here today. I want to read from the second coming of the Lord, amen, a sermon that was preached by God's prophet. He's taken a verse out of Luke 15 and 8. And let's look at this. It says, "Now in the blessed word, I wish to read just a verse, a line or two out of St. Luke's gospel and the 15th chapter, 8th verse. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver," he's reading the scripture, "what woman having the 10 pieces of silver, if she shall lose one piece, does not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently until she has found it. And when she has found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost." Oh, my. Glory to God. Amen. Now you got to catch things in scripture, because Jesus is giving this parable. But now when he's talking about woman in scripture, he's talking about the church. Amen. And the church had lost something. It was lost for ages. It was lost for generations. But in this hour, it has been restored. Amen. The church now has something that they can call to others and say, "Come rejoice with us, for we have found the lost coin." Glory to God. Look at this. He says, "Now that may seem like a very odd scripture for the second coming of Christ, but it's speaking of the second coming of Christ. And this great subject that we have here before us now is one of the most vital subjects in the entire Holy Writ." Amen. There's nothing so important as the coming of the Lord Jesus. "For if he does not come, we have been found false witnesses." Look at this. "Our dead that is in the grave are perished. And there is no help, no hope left for us if Jesus doesn't come visibly the second time." We thank God for his coming the first time, but there's more scripture actually written about his second coming. And that's a vital subject that we need to tend to. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. Look at this. He says, and this light in the very light of the second coming was so important that this Holy Week that we're now approaching, that Jesus, when he was approaching it the first time in the very shadows of the cross, he spoke very little of his death, amen, of his death. Amen. Burial and resurrection. He spoke more on his second coming than he did on his death, burial, and resurrection. So in the light of this, it must be a very important subject. In the Old Testament, there's many times more scriptures in the Old Testament pertaining to the second coming of Christ than there was to the first coming of Christ. Everything to the human race, now after the atonement has been made, rests solemnly upon the second coming of the Lord. I want to go further in this statement. He says now, we have different religions. We have different motives and different theologies. But our Christian religion is based solemnly upon death, burial, and resurrection and the second coming of the Lord. Oh, it's an important question. And as we are now approaching to my most sincere thoughts, we are living in the very shadows of his second coming. There, to my way of seeing it by the light of the scripture, there is not one hope left for the church outside the second coming of the Lord. I like that statement. Amen. Our hope is not found in the government. Our hope is not found in a new president. Our hope is not found in religious leaders. Our hope is found in the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And my prayer today is, even so, come Lord Jesus. Glory to God. Look at what he says here next. He says, this world is in wild pandemonic. Now, I like the way the prophet put it. Amen. Because, you know, we call it a pandemic, but the prophet called it a pandemonic. Not just a pandemic, pandemonic. It's demons that have been loose. It's demons coming against the people of God. It's a pandemonic. But we got power to bind demons, church. Hallelujah. Glory to God. This world is in its wild pandemonic condition, has got completely out of control. Or of every man-made organization in the world, kings cannot hold their subjects no more. Neither can dictators hold their subjects anymore. Democracy cannot hold its subjects anymore. And there's no help, hope left but the second coming of the Lord. One more paragraph in this. He says, and it's now one of the most horrible times for the unbelieving sinner that he has ever witnessed, because the doom time is close at hand. And it's the most blessed time for the believer, for his redemption is at hand. There's two factions in the earth tonight, the believer and unbeliever. The one the Lord is coming to receive, and the one the Lord is coming to condemn. At his coming, will bless one and will curse the other at his appearing. I believe we're living in that time right now. Nothing for us to fear, amen, especially if you're a believer, because he's coming. His second coming was to come and steal you away at night. I was just thinking to myself this week, I said, you know, if the rapture were to take place during the middle of this pandemic, people would never know that you were caught up in a rapture. They would actually blame the pandemic on your departure. Hallelujah. They would not even know that a rapture, they wouldn't even realize scripture had been fulfilled. They were gone, still trying to find a solution. Why are these people missing now? They have no idea. At any moment now, church, Christ could come and take us home. I'm under expectation for that. Jesus was a prophet. Jesus was a prophet. Let's look at, amen, a scripture here out of Luke 24. I want to pick up, amen, kind of, Brother Troy hit this, and I say, well, praise the Lord. What a confirmation. Luke 24, just a few verses from verse 13 to 19. Let's look at this. The Bible declares, says, and behold, two of them went the same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs. And they talked together for all these things which had happened. So here they are talking about the crucifixion, talking about, you know, what Jesus really meant to them. They having conversation about the Lord Jesus. And if you ever want him to appear to you, you need to start talking about him. Amen. Stop talking about all the other stuff that you see on social media, but start talking about the Lord Jesus. He said, now, and they talked together all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. I like this. But their eyes were holding that they should not know him. So as we heard this morning, they were seeing a man physically with their eyes, but they were missing things spiritually with their eyes. Right. Glory to God. And oftentimes in the world today, we find a lot of people can catch some things with natural eyesight, but spiritual eyesight is better. I remember a brother one time told a prophet, he said, if you're a mighty healer, you know, smite me blind. Smite me blind. You know, this man challenging the prophets. But amen. And see, I thank God the prophet showed that he had character. Because if somebody come and challenge us, smite, you want to be smoked blind, I'll smite you blind. But that's not how the prophet handled it. He told him, say, you already blind. Say, no, I can see you. Say, but no, you can't see scripture. Glory to God. And even though you're looking at me with your physical eye, you're missing what God is doing in scripture. Blind, he say, to be spiritually blind is worse than being naturally blind. Hallelujah. So if you want God to give you some, amen, to anoint your eyes with eye salve that you might be able to see, ask him to restore your spiritual sight. Hallelujah. Because when we're talking about Jesus as a prophet, we're going beyond, amen, your emotions. We're going beyond your feelings. We're going back to the word to identify things, amen, as they're supposed to be. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Look at this in the scripture. Amen. Verse 16 says, but their eyes were holding that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? Glory. And it says, and the one of them whose name was Cleopas answering said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? Like, you don't even realize what's going on around here. How can you not know what's going on? Look at this. He says, and he said unto them, what things? Make them go a little deeper. And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth. Now, they're talking to Jesus. They're walking with Jesus. Amen. They're listening to Jesus. But they don't even recognize who he is. That's a sad state to be in. You can be this close to Jesus and not even recognize it. Hallelujah. Glory. I want to tell you this morning, you are in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are in his very presence, hearing his voice, because my sheep know my voice and a stranger they won't follow. Glory to God. Look at this now. Amen. Verse 19. And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth. Now, this is the part that I want to dwell on, which was a prophet. They identified Christ as a prophet. And now when they identified him as a prophet, let me keep reading. A man which was a prophet, mighty indeed, and word before God and all the people. Now this is important that we get an understanding of this. Let me give you just a couple of definitions. But they identified him as a prophet, mighty indeed. Amen. His actions showed that he was a prophet. When he was healing the sick, when he was raising the dead, amen, all these mighty miracles that were happening, they knew, amen, only a prophet of God can do something like this. Amen. God got to be dwelling in this man. Even Nicodemus went to Jesus at nighttime and he said, we know you must be a man from God. Amen. Ain't nobody can do things like this except God be with him. We can't deny that. He says, that which is flesh is flesh, and that which is spirit is spirit. He said, you're going to have to be born again, Nicodemus, if you want to enter into the kingdom of God. He preached his first sermon. Ye must be born again. But the disciples that were on their road back to the Emmaus, they caught that. And not just indeed. He's not just a somebody just to excite our flesh, not just our provider, not just our protector. Come on, not just your deliverer. God ain't no doty granddaddy. Amen. He only has sons and daughters, not grandchildren. He's not here just to supply your need when you get in trouble. But they say he was a prophet, mighty in deed and word. So we're going to catch things. We got to catch it by the word. And then Jesus decided to take them on a trip. On this long journey they just walking, he began to break down scripture. Jesus told them, Pharisees, amen, search the scriptures. Hallelujah. Don't throw it out. Don't throw it out with the dishwater until you search the scriptures. Oh, Jesus. Glory to God. Search the scriptures. Even to believe Jesus as our Savior, you got to believe scripture. You got to see that Old Testament scripture was fulfilled in his life. But while he was here on earth, he was also prophesying. And we got to catch those things too. Everything that was spoken was for a purpose. They say he was mighty in deed and word. That now when he said that word, now it opened up something. And he began to talk to him. And as he began to talk to him and say, now then Moses say this. And then David say this. And then Isaiah say this. Or didn't this one speak this? Then the Bible say this. Then, I mean, when you go back into and looking at your scrolls, didn't you hear this when you went to church? And then you hear that. They say, oh my, yes, this is exactly right. They were still missing it. And now sometimes you can come to church and you can actually feed off some of the nuggets. Right. Glory to God. You get excited by some of the nuggets. But if you're missing what's really being dropped, hallelujah, then your eyes are still blind. Glory, and our prayer is the same prayer that Elisha prayed. Lord, open the young man's eye. Lord, open the young woman's eye. Because we realize if God don't open your eyes, then they'll never be open. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 So, you know, we look at this, amen, in scripture. Let me just kind of give a couple definitions. The word prophet in the Hebrew lexicon, amen, means spokesman or speaker. Amen. A spokesman or a speaker. This is what a prophet is. He's a spokesman or the speaker. The other thing, amen, in Wikipedia, they give a definition of the word prophet. A prophet is, in religion, a prophet is an individual who is regarded as being in contact with a divine being and is said to speak on that entity's behalf. Now, this is Wikipedia's, amen, definition. I can easily insert Moses right there. Because Moses was one that was in contact with God, not just a divine being, but the divine being. He was in contact with God, and he spoke on behalf of God to the people. Glory to God. Serving as an intermediary with humanity by delivering messages or teachings from a supernatural source to other people. That's what a prophet does. He serves as an intermediary with humanity by delivering messages or teachings from the supernatural source to other people. Oh, hallelujah. Glory. And the message that the prophet conveys is called a prophecy. Amen. The message that he gives is called a prophecy. Now, another definition out of Webster's, amen, for the word prophet, it's a person regarded as an inspired teacher or proclaimer of the will of God. Amen. An inspired teacher or proclaimer of the will of God. And I put my own definition here. A prophet is also one who is a seer and a foreteller of future events. Praise God. Now, I got this this quote, and I won't read it all. I'll just mention it, you know, because a prophet is likened unto an eagle. Amen. It's likened unto an eagle. Praise God. An eagle is a bird, amen, that it has a different diet than the other birds. An eagle will only eat fresh killed meat. An eagle will not eat something left over and got maggots and stuff like that all in it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And when we look at some of the stuff that's happening in the denominational world, what they're feeding us is food with maggots. Hallelujah. Amen. An eagle won't eat out of a garbage can. Glory to God. You got to give the eagle something fresh. Something, amen. You just ain't going to just give him anything that you want to give him. He got to have it fresh from God. Hallelujah. Amen. The other thing by eagles, the way that they feed one another is that they feed from mouth to mouth. Hallelujah. We get the word from God's mouth. Amen. Hallelujah. And we take it and then we give it back out to the people. Blessed be the name. We get from the mouth of God. Hallelujah. A prophet gets from the mouth of God. The prophet gives it to the people of God. We people of God give it back to each other mouth to mouth. We share revelation after revelation. Feed each other from mouth to mouth. Yes. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
See, an eagle has the ability to see things that other birds can't see. An eagle will set its nest up a little higher than the rest of them so that the other ones cannot go into that spot to bother with its nest. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. The eagle has very certain qualities about him. He can hunt from a very high altitude. An eagle can see that fish swimming in the water. You might not even know it's there, but somehow that eagle got X-ray vision. Can go right down and see underneath the eagle, not just looking at the surface, the eagle can get down into the depths. Come on, somebody. The eagle can fly higher than the other birds. The eagle can get down into, when it's coming down, soaring down, it knows how to just drop them claws and it's timing it perfect. It knows when that fish is about to rise up. And as that fish is coming up, that eagle's ready to drop them claws and wham, he done caught one and he's taking it back home. But you notice that's not a dead fish just floating on the water. That's something live because he wants fresh kill meat. Hallelujah. Eagles are very unique birds. God likens his prophets to eagles. Let's look at this. Amen. They're designed to fly higher. Glory, 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 glory. Amen, amen, amen. I want to just pick this up in Watchman, What of the Night. I'm going to start at paragraph E17. Amen. In Watchman, What of the Night. He says, but higher the eagle climbs, the further off he can see. And God likened his prophets to the eagles. They are the watchmen that climb higher so that they can see further off. And their eyes are made spiritual so that they can see the approaching dangers. And God had set Isaiah up to warn the people that there was an approaching danger. And they wouldn't listen to him. And today God still has eagles. Our messengers, our man on the tower who climbs up in the spirit far above, far beyond all the mechanicisms and all the atomic bomb and the scientific research. He has men who is special designed for that purpose, who climbs up the ramparts of Calvary in the name of the Lord Jesus and stands on the top of the cross and can send the message back. Thus saith the Lord. Says their spiritual sight is far greater than the priests. I love this statement. A prophet's spiritual sight is far greater than the priest in the temple, far beyond the ordinary man in the walk of life. For they are special designed for the duties that God has called them to. Therefore, it pays us to take heed when we hear of the things that are approaching. It's so important for us to hear the voice of a prophet. If we miss the prophetic voice that was coming through the Lord Jesus, then we're going to miss scripture being fulfilled in our day. Watch this now. Watch this. I want to go back to our little thought here, where we're getting our inspiration for this year. I've been working the church through this step into the vision. And, you know, as I said at the beginning of the year, it's very good. We're going to go to Spoken Words Original Seed, paragraph 428. Make sure you put the underscore there. I was working with the church here on the step into the vision because I felt that this is something that God was the highest vision that we could have, greater than, amen, a business for your, and a vision for your business, a vision for your finances, a vision for this. That's as far as the church world can really go, amen, with their visions. But we want to go into, what is God's vision for us?
What would be, I mean, Christ has already come, died, and he rose again. Well, I mean, why wouldn't that, to me, I mean, an event of such magnitude would have been the completion. It would have been it. Right there. After Christ died and rose again, it's what else was left to happen? Hallelujah. What else was left to happen after that? When you really think about it, how can you top that? A resurrection. A man that prophesied that he was getting ready to go into the grave. The disciples could not catch this. What is he talking about? Rising again. I mean, I never heard of things like this. I done been to church all my life, and this man come talking about on the third day, rise again. What? What? I mean, can you imagine listening to this? Put yourself on the scene as a disciple. You've right. never heard anything like that in all your life. It would challenge your thinking. It would challenge your thinking. Well, and none of them could explain it. Nobody could explain it. Hallelujah. But see, a prophet is not only one that brings you these thoughts that only God can give him. Hallelujah. A prophet is also the one that interprets to you what was just spoken. Hallelujah. This is why, amen, when they were looking for an answer, they could not go to the priests. When they were looking for an answer, we can't go to theologians. But we got to go back to what a prophet said. Because prophets understand prophets. Prophets understand prophets.
It was new to them. It was so new that this was new language. Now, see, the problem is we look back at it because we done heard the story so many times that it just don't strike us that way anymore. But if you were there on the scene of when these words were first spoken, how would you have responded? What you mean to rise again? And I could read it over and over in Mark 9, I think he said it 3 different times in Mark 9. Just they couldn't catch it. They couldn't catch it. Hallelujah. But it was spoken. It was telling of a future event that was not many days hence. The Son of Man is going to go into the earth, but he's going to rise again. Now, don't tell nobody about the vision until you see the Son of Man risen again. Don't say nothing to nobody. Till you understand, when you see the Son of Man risen again, then it's going to all make sense.
All right.
Hallelujah. Woo, I love this church. I love this. I love this. He was a prophet. He was a prophet. Now I want to just identify a couple things. He was a prophet because of his ability to work miracles. Luke 7, verse 11 through 16 talks about how he raised the widow. The widow's son, the widow of Nain, her boy was raised. And here come Jesus passing by the time that this boy, amen, they were carrying him to his grave. They have already had the service and he's on the way to the graveyard. But because Jesus, amen, the road that they took to go to the graveyard, it created what we call an interception. Right, it was an interception. The boy is embalmed. The boy is dead. And he's on the way to a graveyard. But because he crossed paths with Jesus. Amen. Jesus saw mama crying. Jesus could feel her infirmity. And because he represented life, death could not stay in his presence. Had they gone to any other street, that boy would have been buried. But because they came on the street that Jesus was on, they might not have even been asking Jesus to do anything about it. But because he was there, hallelujah, somebody, because he was present, the boy could not stay dead. The Bible says Jesus just touched the buyer and the boy came out. Went home and ate dinner with his mama. Hallelujah. Jesus, amen, is a, they could identify through his mighty deeds that there was something special about Jesus. He fed the 5,000. He fed the 4,000. Blinded eyes were open. Death could hear again because they came in contact with Jesus. But I love this other
interaction that he had with this woman. She was out to get herself some water for the day. She couldn't go out at the same time of day that the other women went out. And when she come to the well that day, amen, it was just ordinary business. Normal, ordinary business to go get water at this time of the day. But for Jesus, he was already coming according to a vision that God showed him. He was stepping out to come see this woman at this time of day. And he sent the disciples on to go get some food. And he knew he had to be there by himself to have a conversation with this woman. And as they begin to talk, according to the book of John, chapter 4, as they begin to talk, amen, the woman, you know, he said, woman, give me some water. Said, now, you know, you're not supposed to be talking to me and asking me for water. My people don't really deal with your people, and we don't do this, and we don't do that. Say, y'all worship over there, and we worship over here. Say, woman, you know, you're not, say, if you knew who you was talking to, you would ask me for something to drink. Well, what kind of water you got? Say, the water I got, amen, it'll just be bubbling over on the inside forever inside of you. And it give you life. Say, man, I need some of that water. I need some life. Give me some of that water. She said, sir, give me the water. Say, well, before I give you this water, go get your husband and come here. And she say, well, I don't have a husband. He say, and well have you said. He said, because the one you're living with right now is not your husband. And you've already had five others. And you know what the woman said after that? She said, sir, not you're going to have to get away from this well. Sir, I don't want nothing else to do with you. Sir, no, you didn't just tell me about myself. She didn't say it like that. She said, sir, I perceive thou art a prophet. Through the revealing of her sin, she recognized that she stepped into the presence of a prophet. Oh, hallelujah. If I could just be so bold, the Holy Ghost is still the prophet that's on the scene today. The Holy Ghost is still the prophet that's on the scene today. Because those things still happen. The Holy Ghost still reveals what is happening in people's lives when they come into the presence of God. That's the Spirit of God in the presence of his people today. Hallelujah. This woman said, I perceive thou art a prophet. See, you know, it wasn't just the miracles. This woman needed something done, amen, on the inside. And she could perceive that he was a prophet. They say, you know what? After her encounter, she went running through the city to say, come see a man that told me the things that I've done. Her encounter with somebody revealing to her the secrets of the heart helped her identify this was a prophet. Jesus was a prophet. Now, the other way they said that he was a prophet, mighty in deed, mighty in words. Now, let's go back. I want to go back to Mark 9. Actually, before I do that, I'm going to go back to Mark 9. But before I do that, let me just read from Spoken Words, Original Seed. He says this, says, thank God all Israel never fell for Korah. Some stayed by Moses, the anointed prophet, with the word of God. Same is it today with many of God's elected by his word and his spirit. Remember the tares, the weeds are to be gathered and bound in bundles. That's right. And this is a prophecy that has been given to God's prophet. He's picked up this pen and he's writing this prophecy out to the church. And we've been just trying to bring this prophecy forward, just paragraph by paragraph, just letting us digest a bit at a time as we've been going through this year. He says, remember the tares, the weeds are to be gathered and bound in bundles. That's right. This has to come to pass. This apostate organization churches is bound tighter than they ever was bound. They are bundled together in a federation of churches ready for the fires of God's judgment. Now, this is spoken in 1962. This is, and we see that they just signed some agreement just a couple years ago. All the religions of the world came together to say they're going to try to be one. Even the Pope saying things like, you know, with a pandemic like this, what we realize, the religion don't mean nothing. We're all humans and we need one another. Hallelujah. They're binding together. Amen. Hallelujah. These are signs of the time. Now watch this. It says they're bundled together in the federation of churches, ready for the fires of God's judgment. Now look at what it say. I never wrote this. I feel that he did it.
Amen. Pentecostals are full of so-called the same as them. The wheat word will be gathered someday after they leave for the masters. Now, look at this. He says, God has promised. Be careful. God has promised Malachi 4 for this last day. And Malachi 4 has not yet been fulfilled, but it must be fulfilled. Now, 1962, he said Malachi 4 has not yet been fulfilled, but he is the very person fulfilling it. Oh, my. Watch it now. It says Malachi 4 has not yet been fulfilled, but it must be fulfilled. Now, I got to stop and just inject. Just leave that for me for a second. The thing of it is, when you go back and you read Malachi 4, there's a promise that the prophet Malachi gave to the people. Says, I'm going to send Elijah the prophet before the great and terrible day of the Lord, and he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers. So now this prophecy is supposed to happen right before the coming of the Lord. This is a prophecy that deals with the second coming of the Lord Jesus. Before Jesus returns, God himself is going to send, amen, a prophet with the spirit of Elijah upon him. Before his first coming, he sent a prophet with the spirit of Elijah. And the Bible clearly identified John the Baptist as the prophet that came before the first coming. So now we're looking for the prophet that's supposed to come before the second coming. According to scripture, it has to happen. Now, some would ask, how do we know Brother Branham is that prophet? Especially, amen, since his name is not in the Bible. John's name was not in the Bible. Hallelujah. Amen. There were many names that were not in the Bible, but we recognize certain things in their life that helped us identify this has got to be the one. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. So my question is, amen, if somebody doubts that William Branham was the prophet, the good thing I can say about that, at least you know that God has to send a prophet. And since you know that God has to send the prophet according to his prophetic scripture, then you must go on the journey to find who that prophet is. You must stop and begin to ask God in prayer, who is your prophet fulfilling Malachi chapter 4? For the second coming of the Lord, we got the first coming.
Woo! All right.
I got to read some more of this quote. Look at this now. Look at this. Be careful. God has promised Malachi 4 for this last day. And Malachi 4 has not yet been fulfilled, but it must be fulfilled, for it is a germatized word of God spoken through Malachi the prophet. Now look at this statement. Jesus referred to it. It is to be just before the coming of Christ the second time. If Jesus spoke it, see, this is where I get my whole thought from, prophecies of Jesus Christ. Jesus referred to this. Let me finish this quote. All scripture that has not been fulfilled must be before that time. The Bible is to be finished. The Gentile dispensation is to be finished with the church age when this anointed messenger arrives. Of course, he will plant the seed of the entire Bible, plumb from the serpent to the messenger in the form of rain. Then he will be rejected by the denominational people as his forefather John and Elijah, as was spoken by our Lord. Jesus referred to it. So, you know, because, you know, everybody's so bent on what Jesus said. Hallelujah, somebody. If Jesus said it, then we're supposed to stay with it. Hallelujah. But you understand, I want you to understand something. Even though Jesus speaks it, he does not make it so clear that everybody would catch it. Hallelujah. You got to be bright in order to catch what Jesus is speaking. I asked the question a few minutes ago. Wouldn't that be the pinnacle if he died, was buried, he died, and he rose again? That would be the pinnacle. Hallelujah. But the reason that we are here is because he was looking for a bride. His bride is his pinnacle.
Hey. Hey.
Oh, bride is his pinnacle.
Hallelujah.
At a marriage ceremony, the last person to enter. Oh, church. The first one to enter is the groom. But the last person to enter is the bride. And I'm going to tell you something. When a bride is having a relationship with a groom, they can speak secrets to one another. And they understand each other. They can read in between the lines. As the bride, you got to be able to read between the lines of the scripture. Jesus referred to it.
That's why I read Mark 9. We're talking about the second coming of the Lord. Mark 9, I read it for you right there. Glory, let's go back to the scripture. We're talking about prophecy. Now, there are so many prophecies that Jesus spoke about. I can't read them all, but I'm trying to give you the ones that pertain to right now. Glory to God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Look at this in Mark 9. After this Mount Transfiguration experience, let's just pick it up, amen, in verse 9. Let's just go back and look at what Jesus said again. These are prophecies. Typically, when a prophecy has been spoken, amen, it take a prophet to break down what another prophet is saying. Hallelujah. It take another prophet because a prophet has, like I said, eagles fly a little higher. What's happened with a prophet is that he's anointed to go into a higher position to see things that the average man cannot see. Hallelujah. And what he sees it, and then he tells us, you know, what he just saw. And now it's up to us to deal with what he just saw. Glory to God. But look at this now. Jesus is already telling them, amen, in this verse says, as they came down from the mountain, he charged them that they should tell no man what things they had seen till the Son of Man were risen from the dead. Now, the term Son of Man meant prophet. Hallelujah. When he talked to Ezekiel, glory to God, he said, Son of Man, can these bones live? He was talking to a prophet. Hallelujah. When he identifies that title as Son of Man, this is a prophetic ministry. Glory to God. So now he's telling them, he says, tell no man what things they had seen till the Son of Man were risen from the dead. Now wait a minute. You rise from the dead. This is what's going through their mind. What are you talking about? Rise from the dead. Jesus, where you get these words from? Well, hold on. This don't make no sense. But they didn't know how to ask these questions to him. They didn't really know what to say. So they sat there just kind of going back and forth in their mind. And now verse 10 says, and they kept the saying with themselves. Now, trust me, even though they were keeping it with themselves, it wasn't that Jesus didn't know what they was just asking. He did not reveal it. Hallelujah. He didn't make it very plain. It was actually already plain enough. The Son of Man gonna rise from the dead. Even though you never heard that before, don't mean it's wrong. Woo! Just because you ain't never heard it before don't mean it's wrong. The Son of Man will rise from the dead. And just like the Son of Man rose from the dead that time, I can tell you the Son of Man is coming a second time. But there are some things that will happen according to his mouth.
Yeah.
Amen. There are some things that have happened before his second coming. Lord, help me to get through this. Look at this. They kept the saying with themselves, questioning one another, what the rising from the dead should mean. So they didn't ask them. They had questions, but they didn't ask them. So they thought they had another question that they would give them. And I'm telling you, Jesus was just very, very, very specific in this whole ordeal here. I mean, he wasn't going to give them the answer because once they asked this other question, it's going to actually set us free for this time.
Oh, God, I hope y'all got that.
If he would have answered the other questions that they had there. Now, he said, just let them keep working on it. Let them keep working on it. But they're going to ask something else. And now when that question comes forth, the answer is actually going to be for a future day where we're living at right now. Yeah. Look at this. Come on. And they asked him, saying, why say the scribes Now, we done read. We done been to church. We done been to Sunday school. Now, we done heard him talk, Jesus. Look, why say that we done read it for ourselves? Why say the scribes that Elijah must first come? They thought they had him. Because he talked about rising again and all this. Well, where's Elijah that's supposed to first come? Now, look at how Jesus answers their question. He answered and told them, Elijah verily cometh first and restoreth all things. Hallelujah. I told you Jesus referred to it. That's what the quote said. This is where Jesus was referring to it. It said, Elijah verily cometh first and restoreth all things, and how it is written of the Son of Man that he must suffer many things and be set at naught. Now, he's speaking two different things in just that one scripture. One, Elijah come and restore all things. Two, that the Son of Man going to suffer many things. Now, it seemed like he just all over the place. This is prophecy. Yeah. Hallelujah. And then a third thing that it spoke is in the next verse, but I say unto you. Now, he talking past tense. He was talking future tense. Then he was talking, amen, what was going on right then. Hallelujah. And now he's talking past tense. All in one statement. Prophecy. You got to be able to read between the lines. Watch this. But I say unto you that Elijah is indeed come, and they have done unto him whithersoever they listed, as it is written of him. Now, the issue here is, and it stops there, but over, I believe, in another passage of scripture where the same story is told, amen, I believe it's in Matthew where the same story is told, the Bible says, then the disciples understood that he spake of John the Baptist. When he said Elijah has already come, that was past tense, then they understood that he spake of John the Baptist. But John the Baptist did not come before the great and terrible day of the Lord. So there must be another Elijah coming before the great and terrible day of the Lord. And not only is this Elijah coming, this is Elijah that Jesus said. It's not what Brother Jack said, because we want to hold on to what Jesus said. This is an Elijah that Jesus said would be coming. And not only coming, he had a very specific job. The specific job was to restore all things. Hallelujah. Now, if you ask me to just say, well, what are some of the things that, what are all things that need to be restored? It's so much. I'm going to just give you a list of them. All right, just some. One of them is what really happened in the Garden of Eden. We can stop lying to people and tell them that it was some fruit that they ate. Let's tell them really what happened in the Garden of Eden. Elijah comes to tell us that. Let me tell you, if you can't get Genesis right, it ain't no way you're going to end up in right in Revelation. So you need to go back and find out what really happened. If your pastor can't tell you, I know of a place where you can go to get the answer. You know how Jesus left them hanging? I'm going to leave you hanging right now. Glory to God. If there's something in you that want to know about these things, you know where to go. Glory to God. Another thing, amen, that was straightened out that we didn't realize, we found out that Jehovah of the Old Testament is Jesus of the New Testament. We're not serving two gods. It's one God. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. And the reason that it's one baptism, because in the church today, we done got this all mixed up. This would need to be restored too. They say Jesus said, baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. That's what Jesus said. But 10 days later, Peter come up with a new revelation. Baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. How did Peter miss it? I asked somebody that question one time. Say, do you think Peter was wrong? Say, Peter was wrong. I mean, after 10 days? After 10 days, you think Peter was wrong? So, yeah, Peter was wrong. I said, no, he wasn't wrong. Peter just had a revelation. If you catch what Jesus said, really listen. He said, baptized in the name of the Father and the name of the Son and the name of the Holy Ghost. Peter understood that the name of the Son was Jesus. And if the name of the Son is Jesus, he just put the pieces together. Then the name of the Father is Jesus. And the name of the Spirit is Jesus. So he caught his name, not his titles, his name. Yeah.
and he baptized in his name. Woo! Jesus never told him to baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He just gave him titles and expected him to read in between the lines. Woo! And as the bride of Christ today, we got to read between the lines.
God sent a prophet to interpret what a prophet was saying. He's straightened out marriage and divorce. And all the church world is so confused with marriage and divorce. So confused as to when you can and when you can't and what's right and what's right. They just confused in it. You know, there's many divorces. If we went back to scripture, there's many divorces that would not occur right now. If we base things on scripture, divorces wouldn't happen if we base things on scripture. Hallelujah. Jesus said it wasn't so from the beginning. Amen. Even in the Garden of Eden, there was no divorce. There was adultery that took place in the Garden of Eden, but still no divorce. Oh, somebody say amen. Adultery took place in the Garden of Eden, but still no divorce. Jesus said it wasn't so from the beginning. Amen. Hallelujah. Brother Brandon brought these things back to us. All right. No eternal hell. You can't have eternal life and be in hell. The only form of eternal life comes through Christ. If you rejected Christ, how are you going to have eternal life in hell? Hell itself will be cast into the lake of fire. So I know you got scripture to say everlasting and say this, but still you got to make it all make sense. Because there's only one form of eternal life, and that comes through Christ himself. He talked about the true baptism of the Holy Ghost without cessation. He talked about how the rapture is going to take place. He revealed all these things. This chart that I have on the wall, the seven church ages, told us, amen, how God was dealing with the Gentile church from the days of Paul all the way to right now. Put dates and times on it. Glory to God. Now, some say, you know, oh, I've seen that chart before. What's the name of that other fella? Larkin. Larkin put that chart out. But I don't know if Larkin could identify who the seventh messenger was. He might have had the other ones, but did he have the seventh? Praise the Lord. So Larkin's work was incomplete then. And in this hour, we're supposed to have the finishing touches put on everything. Glory to God. And if he got it from Larkin, at least he didn't plagiarize. He told you where he got it from. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. And I say so many people criticize the teachings on the church ages and the dates and the overall revelation of the church ages. And, you know, and they got all kind of things that come up. Larkin said this. And, you know, you got all that. But I want to ask another question, though. I mean, you got all these problems with it, but it seemed like God didn't have a problem with it. Because after Brother Branham preached it and he wrote it out just like this and put it before the people, after he preached it, the Holy Ghost came into the church and wrote the same chart on the back wall of the church. Did it do that with Larkin? Hallelujah. God must have been satisfied with what the prophet preached because he vindicated it. And had people sitting there to see it. So when I'm teaching this, I'm teaching vindicated word of God. These are not just my thoughts. These are prophetically inspired. All right. Hallelujah. Okay. I almost got it all out of my system. Just give me a few more minutes. I got to show you just one more thing. Prophecies of Jesus. Here's another one. Luke 17. And I'm going to read some quotes here for you because this is going to be a blessing. Luke 17, verse 26. Jesus speaking here. It's in red in your Bible. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives. Now, the reason that the scripture put wives is because there was a problem with marriage and divorce.
God, when you got married, you're supposed to stay married to that one wife, and only death was supposed to separate you. But when they marry again, they say married wives. Okay? It was a problem back in Noah's day, and it's a problem today. So they did eat, they drank, they married wives, and I know there's some situations that happen in church. Some of y'all would not want to be involved in some of it. I mean, just from a human being perspective, I understand why people do what they do, right? But it doesn't mean that the Word of God has to change. The Word of God is still the Word of God. And understand that, you know, this is what the Scripture said would happen. That's why you need to pray before you get married. Pray. You don't want to be fulfilling the wrong part of the Scripture. Praise the Lord. Amen. Look at this. Amen. Says they did eat, they drank, they married wives. They were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. Now, first of all, let's stop. Let's just stop reading over things so fast. Given in marriage. What that means is that they was living together and not being married. Now, that used to be taboo. All of a sudden, now it becomes acceptable. And when it became acceptable, they start fulfilling Scripture. People will live together without being married and live that way for a lifetime. And another thing, won't even feel no conviction. Hallelujah. Now, people want to know why. You see, when a preacher preaches these things like this, let me just be honest with you. TBN does not want that kind of preaching. Amen. That's why you won't find this on TBN. Amen. Hallelujah. Another thing, you would find Jesus in Herod's palace when he was born. You wouldn't find him with all the glamour and the glitter. Where you found him was actually in some small little place, hallelujah, in a stable, glory. That's where you found him, glory. And if you found him then like that, you're going to find him again today like that because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Let me go on. Says until the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, also, as it is written, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built it. I'm telling you all, anybody that wants to do business in building, you will be successful. Mortgage, you will be successful. Real estate, you will be successful. You want to know why? Because Jesus, Jesus said, likewise also as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built it. Permits will be successful. Yeah, amen. Amen, sis. Jesus said it. Oh, my. Y'all make me want to sing. Jesus said, if you lean on me. Heard the master say, if you lean on me. I heard the master say, if you lean on me. Oh, I won't let you fall if you lean on me. Hey, glory. Stay with the word of God. It won't fail, church. Tie yourself to prophecy. Praise God. Watch this. Watch this. He goes on. Amen. In verse 20 it says, but the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Now, that's powerful. This is the condition. What happened in the days of Noah, and I don't have time to go into all that right now, but you can go back and look in Genesis 6, and the days of Lot was Genesis 19. The things that happened in that time would be happening at the time Jesus was about to return. Hallelujah. There would be a marriage and divorce problem, and there would also be a problem with homosexuality, because that's what happened in the days of Lot. Glory to God. So both conditions would be on the earth at the same time. And the reason that the scripture talk about them eating so much, they bought, they sold, they planted, giving them it to the data. There was one about them eating, and I missed it. But the eating much, it has something to do with the buffets that we have today. All this is scripture being fulfilled, prophecy being fulfilled, right? You'll see all of this, glory to God, and you need to know that the second coming of the Lord is upon us. Now, I want to read just a couple quotes to you, and I'm going to close it down for the day. Oh, Jesus. This is going to come out of God, as God is identified by his characteristics. Listen to this. So Jesus said in the 17th chapter, when in the last day, God in sundry times speaking by the prophets, in the last days by his son, now watch. He said, in the time when the Son of Man is being revealed, watch, reveal, made known in this last day before the end time, when the Son of Man is being revealed, this setting of Sodom will return again. As it was in the days of Sodom, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. When he's being revealed, made known to the church, to the elect, not to the Sodom or the Sodomites or the ones down in Sodom, to the elected. Amen. Abraham was elected, and the royal seed of Abraham is the believers through Christ Jesus, the Word, and is elected. And when the Son of Man is being revealed, that setting would be again. Let me look at this other quote out of the message, the called out. Amen. The called out. The prophet makes a statement here. He says, Jesus said, when the Son of Man is revealed from heaven, let me close by saying this. The Son of Man is now being revealed from heaven. What a powerful statement. This was no longer a future tense scripture. Brother Branham brought it present tense and said, the Son of Man is being revealed now. Amen. Is now being revealed from heaven. Will it come after a while, Brother Branham? He says, it is now. Praise God. And I hope I won't have to make this so personal of this own meeting, but that your spirit within you that's give you by God can read what I'm talking about. The Son of Man has already come from glory and is revealing himself for the past few years to his church in mercy, showing them his great presence, doing the same things that he did when he was here on earth, revealing himself like he did to Abraham before the destruction. He has to come now in mercy, revealing himself to the church. It's being laughed at and scoffed at. The next time he reveals himself, it'll be in judgment on the world and the nations that's forgot God and send their way of grace, their day of grace, rather, away because they have forgotten God and they're doing the same thing they did to the angel of the Lord back there, mocking and making fun of it. But he's here now in mercy. Now, I want to just read you say the Son of Man has been revealed now. Go to God's provided place of worship, and I'm going to try to end right here. Back in Noah's day, back in Lot's day, let's go back to Lot's day. In Noah's day, God sent a prophet. Noah happened to be that prophet. In Lot's day, God had a prophet in the land. His name was Abraham. And before anything happened down in Sodom, God went to Abraham and began to reveal all the secrets of things that was getting ready to happen. Not only did he reveal the secrets of what getting ready to happen, he also revealed a secret right there in the tent. Hallelujah. Of Abraham, he said, why is Sarah laughing? Sarah said, I ain't laughing. He said, Sarah, I heard you laugh. She laughed underneath. I mean, pretty much she didn't laugh out loud. She laughed kind of underneath her breath, but yet he could discern what happened in her heart. He could discern what was happening in her heart. Now, the reason Brother Branham could say that, you know, this is here now, the Son of Man is revealing himself now, is because that same ministry returned in God's prophet. Oh, somebody. That same ministry that was there in the days of Abraham came back in God's prophet. And now it was being expressed before the people. Look at this. This is out of the message, God's provided place of worship. He says, here sits a lady right here. This is a sermon, Brother Branham preaching there in Los Angeles, California. And we just got it recorded, got the words recorded, things that he said. This is 1965 when this happened. Says, here sits a lady right here that'll die right away if she isn't healed. She's got cancer. Now he's discerning what this woman got. Hallelujah. Do you believe that God will heal the cancer? Yes, you believe it. You being that you was kind of slow putting your hand, do you believe God can tell me who you are? See, that's different. That's different. We're not talking about somebody walking into the crowd and saying, I think somebody over here got back pain. Of course, there's millions of them over there that got back pain. My God. Hallelujah. Just turned 50. You have all kind of pains. Amen. It's the truth in it high.
Glory to God. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about being very specific. The way Jesus could tell, you know, Philip, you know, Israel, in whom there is no guile. Just how you know me? But before he called you, I saw you. What? This is what returned back in this day. Hallelujah. Amen. Look at this. We're not just fellowshipping just to be fellowship. God has called us to something. It's to a truth in this hour. Our hearts have been magnetized to truth. And I want to tell you, sometimes God uses some of the strangest situations to get your attention. Hallelujah. I'm almost there. Watch this. He says, you being that you was kind of slow putting your, up your hand, do you believe God can tell me who you are? Miss Gunn. Now, if that's right, wave your hand like that. See, all right, go home. Jesus Christ will make you well. If thou canst believe, all things are possible. That struck this lady sitting here with the dark hat on, looking at me. She also has cancer. Do you believe God will heal you? Do you believe it with all your heart? I'm speaking to Miss Miller. Amen. Mrs. Miller said, do you believe that? I don't know the woman, never seen her in my life, and God in heaven knows that's right, amen, if thou canst believe. Here's a colored woman sitting right over here on the end, had her head down. She was studying. She is studying about a loved one, somebody she's praying for. She come actually, amen, have him prayed for. No, he isn't here. It's her husband. That's right. He's not here. He's at home. He's had an operation, hasn't he? That's right. He was bothered with sinus trouble and so forth. That's true, isn't it? He's going to be all right. Your faith was strong for it. Do we believe that? That's to be true. Amen. It says, can't you see that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever? Ask those people. It went plumb across the audience. Do you believe that he's here? Do you feel that quickening power in you? Well, that's the God that makes you well, friends. Do you believe it? Says, now, will you do one thing for me? For how many in here is sick? Let's see you raise your hand. Now let's go on. It's going on 5 o'clock. Lay your hands on each other and just say, don't say a word. Just lay your hands on one another. I want you to do something. Say, the man sitting right back there has got a growth on his back. Do you believe that God will take that growth off your back? Do you believe that God will make you well? Young fellow looking at me thought he was going to get passed by. Raise your hand up, sir. Hallelujah. That's right. You believe with all your heart, God will take it off for you. Amen. Hallelujah. I challenge this whole audience in the name of Jesus Christ. If your conscience, don't let it be seared with unbelief. Don't let it be frustrated. Can't you see the Son of Man? The Son of Man in form of prophetic message. Returning back again in his church in prophecy. Revealing Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's never been done through the age till this time. See, there is the proof of it. Hallelujah, church. There was service after service after service where God proved himself. In city after city after city, country after country after country, God vindicated his word. And these were things that were promised by Jesus before the second coming of the Lord. And I want to tell you something right now. We are here. We are in the midst of it right now. We're not looking off of something some long time off. We are here right now. God done sent his prophet, called him off the scene, and we're still holding to what that prophet said because it was vindicated truth. Thank God for it. Thank God for the prophecies of Jesus Christ. And if the prophecies concerning his first coming came to pass, then every prophecy concerning his second coming will also come to pass. I believe with all my heart. God bless you. God bless you. Glory. Let's pray. Sister Rachel, you can come. Father God, we thank you for your word. Thank you for your truth. God, that has been revealed. Help us, Lord, to read between the lines and see what the Holy Spirit is really trying to say to us.
His job is to lead us and guide us into all truth. And how we need this truth, Lord, for this hour that we live. How we need this word, God, for this day in which we live. So many, Lord, just going to church, God, out of tradition, but God, missing, Lord, the scripture actually coming to pass right before us, just like it was in the days of your first coming. Many of the Pharisees and Sadducees, they had the law. Even the disciples, they understood to a certain degree. They say, we heard these things. The scribes, they said this. They said that. We went to church. We heard this. And if they said this, then aren't these things supposed to happen? God, they could only see so much, but Jesus was able to take them a little further. And I pray the Holy Spirit today, the same Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ that is in the church, help us to go further, Lord. Help us to realize that you've done so much more. God and Father, we're part of this great pinnacle. Lord, that you've called us in this hour, that you've called us to truth. Bible say we'll know the truth and the truth will make us free. Lord, I pray that God, you be glorified in everything, amen, that you have spoken. There had to be a people here that would hear these words. There had to be a people here that would receive these words of prophecy. Lord, just as in the first coming, Lord, not all the Jews, not all the religious leaders accepted what was happening, but you had a few on earth, God, that believed. They couldn't explain everything. They didn't understand everything, but yet they believed. God, help us to believe, Jesus. Help us to believe. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Say, I believe, I believe the word of God. I believe. Help me sing it, everybody standing. Say, I believe. Brother Troy, you can take it from here. I believe. Oh, I believe the word of God. I believe. Come on, I receive.
prosper. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. No. Hallelujah. It won't work. God has said, God will do what He said He will do. He will stand by His word. He will come through. Say, God will do what He said. Jesus shall prosper. Hallelujah. It won't work.
Continue to play softly. I trust that the word of Almighty God, amen, penetrated. Amen. Just beyond your flesh. Amen. But down into your soul this morning, this afternoon. Word of God come to encourage you, amen, to give you strength, amen. Those that may be found a little bit wanting, amen, the word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword to even the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. What am I saying? I'm saying God knows what you're going through. And sometime when God knows what you're going through, He just has to convince you that he knows what you're going through. See, God don't have a problem with doubt. He has to get that spirit of unbelief off of you. He has to reveal Himself to you for you to know that He knows exactly what you're going through. Once you get a revelation and an understanding that God is calling you personally, that God has come to give you exactly what you need personally, You respond in your heart with amen, Lord. You respond in your heart with, Lord, I thank you. I receive it and receive it in your name, Lord. You hear the word. Receive the word. Apply the word and rest on every promise. You say, preacher, how do you apply the word? After you realize that God has spoken directly to you and directly to your situation, fall down on your bended knees. Find a quiet place and just talk to Him. Just commune with Him. Those two men on the road to Emmaus, they walk as they commune with Him. And it lifted them out of all of their troubles. You might have heard some things that you had never heard before. Amen. But God is calling you to a higher place of praise. Amen. Don't be like they were in that day when they how can we believe such things? It's vindicated. Now let Him vindicate it to you. Let Him vindicate His word in your heart. Amen. Every head bow, every eye closed. Most gracious God, how we are so thankful, hallelujah, so thankful, oh God, for the word in this hour, Lord God. Oh God, not just the Lord, we went through times where we just had a good singing, where we felt goosebumps, and we shouted and we danced and we ran around and did all of these sorts of things. Those things are fine, just fine. But Lord, we want a little bit more now. We want to rest in Your word, Lord. Rest in Your promise. Give us eye salve, Lord, that our eyes may be open, that we see You plainly, Lord. Reveal Yourself to us as individuals, Lord. He's not dealing with us as a group. He dealt with Israel as a group. Lord, You're dealing with each and every one of us as individuals. Because your neighbor, because your friend, or because somebody else may not hear the call, especially to you. The Bible saying, the day that you hear His voice, harden not your heart. Time is short. We're at the threshold of His coming. Oh God, we ask, oh Father, that those that might be battling right now within their spirit, we pray for those, oh Lord God, that are going back and forth. There's a war going on right now in their mind, a war going on right now in their mind. Lord, we ask You to just be with them. We lift them up in prayer right now. Be with them, Father. Lord, we stand in the gap. We intercede for that soul, oh Lord God, that they find their way home, not to this building, but to You, Lord. Say, my sheep hear my voice, and a stranger they won't follow. Lord God, as we prepare to leave this place, oh Father God, but not Your presence, Lord God, we ask You, God, to restore, strengthen our pastor, Lord God, as he gave of himself. We ask You, Father God, as we leave, be with each and every one of us, oh Father God, represented, oh Lord God. Keep us, oh Father, is our prayer, Lord, that we can meet back here again at the appointed time to join together in worship and fellowship, oh Father God, as we commune with You together. We thank You, Father. We ask these many blessings in Jesus' name. Church, say amen. We'll stand by. Oh, He will come. You may be seated as the brothers will dismiss you. Amen. Against me shall prosper. He will.
no weapon formed against me shall prosper. No, 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 it won't work. God will do. Oh, what he said, he will do. He will stand by his word. He will come through. No, God will do what he said.
God bless you, my brother. God bless you.
He will come. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. No, 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 no. He won't. No. It won't prosper. Hallelujah.